Welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And I'm now blessed and honored to help many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. This virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm very excited to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my privilege to welcome and introduce our guest today, Mary Jane Captain. Hi, Mary Jane.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome.
I'm so pleased to be here.
We're so happy to have you here and look forward to hearing from you. I think the topic you've chosen is going to be very valuable for our listeners. So just a little information about Mary Jane before we get started. Mary Jane Captain has been a life and love coach for over 20 years. As a recovered nice gal, she understands firsthand the heartache of loving too much, settling for less, being a doormat, and trying too hard to make love happen. Boy, I think a lot of us can relate to that. She stopped the madness, changed her nice gal ways, and found real love at 40. Plus, new baby. Her message is, you can find real love no matter what your age once you love and value yourself. And Mary Jane says, I was the typical nice gal who gave up me to be loved. I was too nice, too giving, and too accommodating. It made me date the wrong kinds of men and hang on to relationships that weren't meeting my needs. My client's stories are much the same. Nice, sweet, smart, loving, sensitive, compassionate men and women who give too much and ask for too little. I've made it my mission to end their heartache and transform nice guy or nice gal syndrome for good. So that's going to be the theme for our conversation today. Mary Jane's going to be talking about nice gals finish last, why being nice doesn't lead to love. So I think this is a very relevant topic, and I'm sure that many women like myself can relate to having spent some time on this path in our journey to love. And so I'm really anxious to hear what you have to share with us today. And just getting started, thank you. So just getting started, Mary Jane, I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about your definition of a nice gal and what exactly you mean by this term, nice gal.
Yeah, I mean, because most people are going to say, well, Mary Jane, isn't being nice, like, really, like, aren't you supposed to be nice? Isn't nice, like, an attractive and admirable quality? Absolutely. Nice gals at their absolute best are kind and generous and loving and very sweet and conciliatory, and they're big-hearted and generous and optimistic and very trusting and very helpful and soft-hearted, right, and very much the altruistic women of the world. And so we want to keep all those lovely and likable qualities. When it becomes a problem is when we're too nice, and conflict arises, and then overgiving builds up into resentment, or our trust is betrayed because we were too naive or too trusting, or choices have to be made that really can't please everybody, and you know, nice gals and guys end up being on the receiving end of you know, overgiving and giving too much, and then finding that their needs are not being fulfilled. And so, you know, when you're too nice, then you're too giving. You get taken advantage of or seen as a pushover. Or when you're too agreeable, you become a doormat. or when you're too understanding, you can be that naive dreamer, or if you're too accepting, then you become that fixer or settler or rescuer. And so really the word nice that I'm using here is defined as giving up you to be loved, accepted, or liked.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, nice here is defined as giving up you to be loved, accepted, or liked.
I like that definition.
And being nice in this way really makes love hard. And it's those, you know, that's the nice girl behaviors or beliefs that really sabotage your love efforts. And so what I find is that women come to me because they feel fed up, they feel resentful, they feel exhausted, they feel frustrated, they feel helpless and hopeless and kind of depressed. And these are all really signs that it's time to make a change, that the way that they're going about trying to get love and find love isn't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact, you go as far as to say that being nice almost guarantees a woman will stay single and finish last. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. Can I back up and share a little bit of my story, and then that might have a little bit of context for it as well?
Sure, we'd love that.
Yeah, so as I said, I'm a recovered nice girl. I'm happy to say I'm recovered. Sneaks in every so often. I grab
Congratulations.
Thank you. But I let people, but mostly men, really just treat me like a doormat and take advantage of my giving nature. And my motivation was, like a lot of women, I just wanted to be liked, I wanted to be loved, I wanted to be accepted. And somewhere along, my childhood, I really just believed that I had to be really generous and really nice in order to deserve that love. It was like there was this part of me that just didn't trust that I was worth loving or that men would really stick around. And so there was this trying hard energy to prove that I was worth loving. And this really just made me exhausted and made it so that I ignored my needs. And I was always just kind of terrified that once I, you know, got a man that he would be, you know, he would discover my imperfections and he would abandon me. And so, interesting enough, no matter how hard I tried and how much I gave in a relationship, I would feel more insecure, I'd feel more needy, I'd feel more empty and more unfulfilled. So it was like the more I wanted love and a man's acceptance or time or affection, the more alone I would feel, the more desperate I would feel. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense, because here I am with somebody, and it's like all of this fear is being kicked up. And I really thought that if I just loved a man as well, that he would love me back. So a couple of things. I'd meet a great guy, and I would just feel so insecure about the relationship lasting, and I would give so much that it would just turn him off. And or I would mistakenly believe, okay, that I could convince a man to see that I was the one, and I would stop. It was like I didn't stop myself and think, okay, but is he the one for me? Is he really the one that I'm looking for? And I just thought, if I love enough and I'm good enough and I'm perfect enough and I try hard enough and I'm really nice enough, then how could he not see how wonderful I am and just think I'm amazing, and then love will happen for me.
Right.
Yeah. So I really dedicated, you know, my journey, and why I moved from life coaching to love coaching was really because I could see so many women who were giving up, giving too much and loving too much and trying so hard to make love happen. And being nice is the habit in which they would do that.
Right.
Yeah. So to go back to your question a little bit about, why nice girls really don't get the guy, and I would say nice girls never get the guy, at least not the guy worth having, is because when you're overgiving and you're too nice and you're too accommodating, you're too pleasing, and you're, too generous with men, then they kind of see you as less than. It's almost like they don't value you, because they actually unconsciously believe that you don't value yourself. Because if you trusted that you were worthy of love, as we all are, and knew that it was available to you, then there wouldn't be this needing to prove it all of the time. So the overgiver nice girl really just puts everyone else first and puts her needs last. And when you do that with a man, he actually starts to see you as less than.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. And it also can, without us sometimes realizing it, it also can give out that vibration of desperation, too.
Yes.
Because a man, even if it's unspoken, a man can sense when a woman is trying too hard or giving too much too fast too soon or not expressing any of her needs or preferences. And as you said, it can create this dynamic where a man values a woman less, and it also can give off this a bit of an air of desperation.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting because nice girls are not, none of us are naturally needy, and that's not our natural state. In fact, we're whole and we're worthy, and we're all very much desiring and deserving of love. And when these nice girl behaviors kick up, it really comes from this deep-seated fear that somehow we might not be good enough, that a man might not stick around, that love is fleeting. And so it's that fear that triggers that energy of desperate and needy and insecure and unsure and uncertain. And it's that fear that we really want to stop so that those nice girl behaviors of overgiving, overtrying, perfecting, stop getting in the way. And then we can actually just relax and be ourselves and in love. And then a man can see a woman for who she is instead of who she's trying to be or thinks she has to be in order to receive love.
Yeah, I think this is so significant what we're talking about. And in fact, Mary Jane, this has been a theme that I've experienced in my own life as well, so I can completely relate to your story. And of course, many of the women that I've worked with have also faced this challenge. So I've coined a bit of a phrase for it, and I call this unholy giving. Because when you think about giving and receiving, it's typically something that's a nice, lovely experience for people on both sides. And yet, if a woman gives too much too fast too soon, whether it be sex or commitment or losing herself to try to morph into what she thinks the man might want her to be or bending over backwards to accommodate his wishes without expressing any of her own needs or preferences, what typically happens is it's not typically really appreciated by the recipient, in this case the man, and it tends to leave the woman feeling depleted and perhaps even used, unappreciated, and frustrated. And so it sets up this dynamic where it's really not a big win for either person, and that's why I call it unholy giving.
I love that phrase. That's gorgeous. I'm going to quote you on that.
me on that. And that's the phrase that I have coined to describe exactly what we're talking about in this interview, because it helps my clients to really understand the dynamics of what we're talking about here and how it really doesn't end up, when we think of giving, we think of gifts. And like I said, that it's a joyful experience for both the giver and the receiver, but when it's the unholy giving, then it doesn't end up benefiting anyone in the way that it was intended to. So I think it's such an important principle we're talking about, and I know we've mentioned some of the things that are common in terms of how nice gals might practice being too nice. You know, some of the mistakes that they make. But what other specific examples would you like to share about how a woman might be giving too much too fast too soon or being a little too nice?
There's so many. So let me narrow a few down. I think the biggest thing I see is thoughtfulness. So women think, I'm just going to be really thoughtful. And so they start gift giving. They clean out his closet. They do his dishes. They bake him cookies. They bring him lunch. They just begin to, it's almost like this, they take the focus off themselves, what I call being man-centered instead of you-centered, which is one of the ways to flip this dynamic around. And they become all about him. How can I please him? How can I support him? How can I help him? How can I make his life easier? And it's actually really interesting because men want to be inspired. They don't really need you to help them and make their life easier. Otherwise, you're turned into their mother. I always say if you're the maid or the mother, you become the doormat, not the dream girl. And that's like the last thing that you want to be. And again, all that overgiving just makes them feel more love star, like you were saying, more empty, more depressed, and then more needy and dependent of that man, and needing to make it work. And then if it doesn't, or there's like even the slightest little bit of uncertainty, then the fear factor comes up again. And this fear is like generating this overgiving. And so it's kind of it's a broken cycle of I'm giving so that I can feel more certain. But every time I give, I feel more empty and depleted. I feel more uncertain because he's pulling away, or I'm not really sure, or he's just taking advantage, or he's being more distant because he thinks he has me. And then boom, right? And it's, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but it's like the minute a man knows he has you wrapped around his finger, he gets lazy. So even if he's a good guy.
Many of them do lose their motivation at that point, and then it sets up this dynamic. If a relationship starts out this way with a woman overgiving or being too nice, too fast, too soon, it sets up a dynamic where it's hard to break out of that mode for the rest of the relationship. I've always believed that the way a relationship begins is really key, because it can be really difficult to learn new dance steps once you kind of get into the flow with someone of doing it a certain way, which is why this being too nice or overgiving in the early stages of a relationship is especially dangerous, I think.
Absolutely, because once you set the stage, right, and the expectation, and then if that nice girl begins to say, hey, wait a minute, I'm not really getting my needs met here, and kicks up a fuss, then he's either going to call, he's going to say, oh, you're being dramatic, and this is too much work, and, you know, I don't want all this stress, and you're being emotional, and you know, there's going to be a dramatic pull away at that point in resistance on his behalf, or he's just going to not want the freebies taken away. He's going to be upset that that's no longer happening, and women are afraid to do that once, because they also feel like he's going to leave. And then you have this conditional-based relationship where you actually know that the man is hooked on your giving. Like, is he hooked on your giving, or is he hooked on you? And then you never quite know that, and that's why there's no trust there, that you're actually being loved for yourself. And ultimately, that's what I want every nice girl to have, is that incredible feeling, which I'm sure you feel with your soulmate man, and I certainly do, is this incredible, amazing, ecstatic feeling that is so relaxing and so secure and so safe and very loving, of just being accepted 100% for who you are, not for what you do, not for what you give, not for how perfect you try to be, or just for you, exactly as you are.
Yeah, and it's really the foundation for not only a more satisfying, but a more real relationship, because like you said, you can relax into being who you are without feeling like you've got to always be on your A game or performing, right?
Mm-hmm. And there's an inauthentic There's an inauthenticness to doing that, you know, to putting on the dance of, you know, I always tried to like prove how great I was. So let me show him this, let me show him that, and let me show him this. And that's another way we play that dance, is look how beautiful I am, look how wonderful I am, look how accomplished I am, look how much I've got my, you know, my life together. So men don't really care about that. They care about how you make them feel. And just like we want to care about how they make us feel, rather than, you know, what is all this stuff on the list, or the externals, or the doing or trying or overgiving. Can I share another way that women also put men off, and some of the behaviors that show up in the nice girl ways?
Sure.
Okay. Initiating. So, so cute. I had a client who initiated contact, initiated the date, initiated the phone call, and it was really amazing because this particular man was trying to do the initiating, and she was sort of taking charge and making sure, you know, her whole thing was, if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. And she was so cute. She called me, and she's like, Mary Jane, you know, I feel like I should tell him what restaurant, you know, he's not from the city and he's not going to know stuff. And I'm like, And I'm trying to let her know that, hey, you know what? He's not broken. He's a grown adult. He doesn't need you to fix or guide or suggest or initiate anything. You don't need to find out the restaurant for him. You don't need to tell him where to meet you, how to pick you up. Like, those are all things that if a man is really into you, you want him, you know, to take that effort. And you don't want to deny him the excitement of doing that. Because if he's into you and you start taking charge and suggesting and which sounds to a man after a while like controlling, he might think it's flattering at first if we initiate contact or try to make the date or say that he's handsome or something like that. But after a while, it starts to actually be a perfectionist controlling, and he's going to start to resist that. And it's going to feel like pressure to him after a while. It's also going to rob him of the excitement of being able to chase after the woman that he's really into. And I don't, you know, that's one of the nice girl mistakes, is just like messing up that whole initial part where a man can really get invested and excited about dating a woman.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's definitely one of the big ones. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of controversy around this out there, Mary Jane. I think women receive a lot of confusing messages on the whole initiation piece, don't you?
Yes, I do. And I need to say that there are women who initiating first will absolutely work for them. And but I would say majority of women, especially nice girls, it's the number one mistake that they can make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that most women do want to be in a relationship where they have that experience of having a man that pursues them and have the sense that a man has selected or chosen them as someone that they want to be with, not because she moved things along or she made him feel obligated or whatever the case may be, some of these dynamics that can happen when a woman starts taking the lead. There may be a very few select women out there in the world who are more comfortable really being in the driver's seat all of the time, and that approach may work well for them. But even women that I've worked with that are extremely successful in their careers and in their business lives and may be displaying some more masculine characteristics perhaps in their professional lives, even most of them tend to want their romantic relationship to be a little more traditional in the sense that the man is the one that does the majority of the pursuing. And
yeah,
it's really a relief. As you were talking about this nice girl routine that so many of us have done, it's so exhausting. It just,
it is exhausting.
As you were talking about it, and I was thinking back to some of that I did in my own journey to love, and it just felt exhausting just to even think about it. And it's such a relief to be able to sit back and to relax and just allow things to flow and to relinquish that need to be control of what's happening and allow a man to step up and be a man and do things in his own way, even if we think we maybe could do it a little better, right?
And the beautiful part is when we do that, you know, it's ironic because we're trying to control or suggest or direct the relationship in order to feel more secure, to know how he feels, to make sure it, you know, like I said, it's going to happen. You know, the relationship isn't going to go off the rails. The irony is that it often does make it go off the rails, like we've been discussing. But the cool part is that when you relax and actually allow, that's when a man is going to show his true colors. And that's when we really get to see, you know, is he into me or is he into sex? And if he's really into me, you know, how is he making me feel safe, secure, cherished, adored, unconditionally accepted and supported? And then we get to just, exchange that energy in kind if it's being given. And we get to see that he is a giver because a real man is.
Yes. Yes, in fact, I've shared this story before, so some of the listeners may have heard me share this, but just really briefly, there was a woman that my husband dated a year or two before we started dating, and I didn't know her well, but I did know of her and was we had some joint friends, even though we weren't so directly connected. And she was just an amazing woman. She is just an amazing woman. She has numerous advanced degrees, a doctorate, and is an extremely accomplished, amazing woman, and does all kinds of wonderful things in the world. Mm-hmm. She's the kind who, when she sends out like her holiday card, her annual Christmas card, it'll be like, you know, in January I ran a marathon, in February I opened a school for the blind, and March I,
wow.
You know, I went on a humanitarian mission. I mean, it goes on, and you just kind of go, wow, hello, what am I doing with my life, right, when you read this?
There's so many amazing women out there.
I know, and I'm just like, whoa. And so after my husband and I had been dating for a while and it looked like things were going really well, I knowing of this woman that he had dated previously, I said to him, you know, I'm just curious to know what happened and why things didn't work out with so-and-so. And so he said to me, he said, you know, she's so amazing and I have so much admiration for her. He said, but I couldn't really see where I could fit in her life or where I could really make a difference. She has everything all together so well and is so self-sufficient and doesn't seem to have any needs that I really felt like I could help her with or to fit into her life. And he said, I just kind of felt like I was just hanging around. And I thought it was really, really interesting and really, really insightful, because here's this amazing woman, and I know she very much wanted to have love in her life.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm not saying she should be anything less than she is. And yet what I think happened there is she wasn't able to show her vulnerable side or her need for someone else in her life. And I don't think this means we have to be any less amazing than we are as women. And I know, like I said, some of this can feel a little bit controversial for some women because they're like, why should I have to be different than I am? It's not about being different or less than what you are, but it's about allowing a man to have a place in your life. And as Mary Jane said, a man who really cares for you and wants a relationship with you is going to want to find ways that he can contribute and give to you in your life and make a difference. And a man does need to feel like he's needed in some way. That doesn't mean he has to be needed to support you or in some of the ways that women may have traditionally needed men. But he does feel like he needs to have a place where he needs to be able to make a difference and be able to express himself and feel like he's making a contribution to your life.
I love that you shared that. It's so common. You know, there's a spectrum of nice girl, and there's actually 7 different types. I don't have time to get into all of them right now. But, you know, one end of the spectrum is the perfectionist, the overachiever. She's very accomplished. She's wonderful in so many ways. I mean, she has her life together, right? So many things are filled. And I just had a client like that recently who, you know, our coaching together was really like, where are you making space for a man? You know, how are you allowing that vulnerability like you suggested? And she just recently met the most amazing man. I'm so thrilled for her. So, you know, we did that work of her opening to letting go of the reins of making space and energy for a man. And so there's that woman who's been, you know, all of my nice girls have been deeply, deeply wounded by love. I mean, you don't have nice girl behaviors unless you've experienced some serious heartache. And in fact, I know nice girls often experience more because we are so sensitive and we are so loving and so giving. And the perfectionist nice girl has a bit of that wall that just says, I'm afraid to get hurt. So I don't want to let my guard down, because if I do, then a man might reject me or hurt me, and I don't want to ever feel that kind of pain again. And they deal with it more by putting up a bit of that wall or not making that space for a man to move into, not letting him get close, not letting him see her true heart. And the other nice girl at the other end of the extreme, that overgiver and accommodator, is sort of making too much space for a man. It's like, come in and just take over and give me a sense of security and support. And you know, she's putting on too many of her needs, and too much of her, hey, rewrite my history and be the love of my life and you know, fix this pain in my heart. And she comes across like, you know, she pushes men away because she's incredibly, you know, she's starving for love, and he senses that, and it feels like pressure and effort and work, and you know, that's not really a way to inspire a man's love if it feels like it's a lot of work for him. So you know, we got to find the middle, you know, the healthy, secure middle, where we feel worthy of love, we feel secure that we can have it, that we don't have to try hard, we don't have to overgive, we don't have to accommodate, we don't have to perfect. We don't have to have it all together all of the time in order to be loved.
Yeah, in fact, I love that you use the word inspire in terms of inspiring a man's love. And there's a big distinction here, and this may be really the foundation of what we're really talking about here today, is that to inspire a man's love is a very different thing than feeling like we have to earn a man's love, right?
Yeah. Earn it, get it, nail it down, put it on black and white paper, get that commitment. You know, it infuriates me. I don't know if it does for you, but there's so much dating advice out there that really is like, get the guy, you know?
Yeah.
And it lacks, it's not true love, first of all, and it lacks a sincerity to it and an authenticity that that real love has. And real love is such a power to heal. You know, like you, I had this crazy, stupid, winding road to love. It was long and hard, and I made so many mistakes. And I always say that I think I made all these mistakes to be a better love coach, you know, mm-hmm. because I just get it. I've been on every side of the nice girl pattern and spectrum. I've experienced every type of relationship you could possibly think of, from healthy to toxic. And I understand all of the traps and the mistakes, and I want to use that knowledge. I wanted to take my heartache and really use it to help other women not experience that kind of pain in their lives, and to have a really easy, you know, heart break free way to get to love. And it really can happen very fast. I don't know if it did for you, but it certainly did for me. You know, once I, you know, just kicked my nice girl stuff to the curb and claimed my worthiness, you know, love, real love came in, and I had done so much healing on my own, but my partner healed me in a way that I cannot even begin to describe. You know, his love and acceptance just opened my heart in such a powerful and amazing way. And then I have my little baby, you know, who's just the other second love of my life, you know, who, you know, and I just, oh, sorry, I get so emotional about this, but it's absolutely why I do the work that I do. Because even with all of the journey and how long it took and how painful it was, having what I have now is completely worth it. But I know that, you know, that so many women out there listening to this call, you can have it now. You can have it easier, and it doesn't have to be so hard, and you don't have to be so afraid all the time.
Yeah, that was really beautiful, Mary Jane. Thank you for sharing that. And I do think that many of us that do this work in the world that we are blessed to do found our way to this work through our own journey, at least in part. And I, like you, I can relate to what you're saying, because I feel like there's not anything that my clients can tell me that I can't relate to on some level. Been there, done that, bought that T-shirt at some point, right?
Yes.
And perhaps that is a reason why we had such long and winding journeys to love, is to allow us to be able to support other women and hopefully help them to make their paths a little less long and winding, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So I know we've talked about some of the behind-the-scenes fear or feeling of desperation or feeling of this need to please or whatever. Well, I know we've talked about some of the things that are kind of going on behind the scenes, but how do we really start to change some of these emotional habits and thoughts that allow a woman to really attract her Mr. Right?
Yeah. So again, I want to remind, you know, women that you're not naturally needy, you're naturally insecure, or naturally fearful. You know, it's been set up by your history, and really, you know, there is that underlying, we've all heard it before, the I'm not good enough, right? The I'm not good enough that makes us believe that we had to seek love or earn love in some particular way. And that really fear is driving that bus. And so when we start to reverse that, and start to lower that fear factor, then we're less likely to fall into those nice girl behaviors. But we also want to tackle those nice girl behaviors, right? And so I always say to my ladies, and my message is really that you have to act worthy to feel worthy. And it doesn't mean you have to feel worthy to act worthy. And they're always waiting for that, especially because, you know, nice girls tend to be feelers. So they're like, well, I don't really feel worthy, and I don't really, you know, and I feel all this fear. And so we want to lower that fear, and we want to act worthy despite our feelings,
mm-hmm.
and start to behave in that particular way. So the number one first thing that nice girls need to do to flip this around is you need to stop dating jerks. and
that's a big one.
Yeah, because if a basically if a man is making you feel insecure and not safe, then and it's triggering more and more fear, and all of that fear is kicking up, and so then you feel like you have to fall into those nice girl behaviors of, you know, needing to, you know, seeking reassurance, asking for validation, overgiving, planning your life around him, that's another one, you know, trying to make the relationship happen, so trying hard to make love happen. All of those behaviors come either because we feel insecure and we walk in with insecure behaviors, or the guy we're dating is actually triggering those insecurities and those fears. And so if a man is making you feel that way, disrespecting you in any way, neglecting you, mistreating you, obviously abusing you, or let's say the less dramatic ones, or he's inconsistent, he doesn't say what he says he's going to do, he doesn't do, he doesn't come on dates on time, you know, he's sometimes available and other times not, he's, you know, in 1 second and all about you and then distant the next minute, he's probably triggering that insecurity and fear. So you need to stop dating him because it's only going to damage your self-esteem, again, make you feel more unlovable, more unworthy, get you into that whole negative self-talk, I'm not good enough, no man is going to want me, you know, I that limiting belief that if I've only ever dated men who didn't completely love me the right way, or, you know, their love was very limited and I didn't feel loved and supported by them, then how am I ever going to meet someone who's going to do that? It's all going to trigger that up. So please, please just stop dating jerks.
Yeah, and what I like to say to my clients is a big part of being ready for the right man is not being tangled up with the wrong one. And this cycle that can take place that you're talking about when you're dating someone that's not treating you well, it creates a downward spiral, and it can be really difficult to get to break out of that. And the sooner you can, the better off you are, because it really, over a period of time, and I, again, know this from personal experience too, can really take its toll on your self-esteem and can really entrench that belief that you might feel inside of some kind of unworthiness deeper into your psyche, and can really be a difficult thing to recover from. And it can really do significant harm. And in fact, women who remain in these kind of relationships over a period of time oftentimes have a very difficult time recovering. If they ever do manage to even get out of those kinds of relationships, they have a hard time recovering and getting back on the right track. I know I was in one particularly detrimental relationship during my years as a single woman, and it really took me years to get back on track.
I hear you from that one. I've had one of those big marks. And the most painful part of that was losing myself and feeling like not only did I not trust that love could happen for me, but I didn't trust myself anymore. I didn't trust my choices. I didn't trust who I was attracted to. I didn't trust that I knew how to date in a way that would, you know, that would really not only meet my needs, but not hurt me.
Right.
And that's, so, like you, I'm sure so many of my client stories, and we want to stop that cycle right at the very beginning, which is to stop seeking, first of all, to get validation from external sources. But you know, you can't get it from a man who's just not willing to give it to you.
That's
you know,
right.
So inconsistent, he's unavailable, he's not committed, he mistreats you in any way, he neglects you, disrespects you, even in the slightest way, those are big flags. Those are big flags that that's a man who, you know, is either toxic, flawed, immature, neglectful, you know, his capacity for love is very limited, or he's just not in love with you.
That's right. That's right. And another piece of this, which I'll just mention really briefly, is it's not your job to have to figure out why he's not able or willing to give this to you. It is your job or your opportunity to take care of yourself, and you have not only the right but the responsibility to look out for your own happiness and to be aware of how your interactions with a man that you're dating or getting to know make you feel, and to not sweep that under the rug or ignore that if there are signs that you're being mistreated. Sometimes, and like you say, one of the biggest dangers when we ignore that or remain in those kinds of unhealthy relationships is we lose the sense of our own radar and feeling like we have the good wisdom and judgment to make good choices. And that also can be a really difficult thing to overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. I just had like a million thoughts in my head about and a million examples of myself and other women that applied to. And, you know, what's funny is that, you know, that peel myself off the floor took years to recover from relationship. You know, the beautiful and fierce part that came out of that was an absolute commitment to put my happiness first and that I would never be in a relationship again where I was last, where my happiness wasn't protected, where I wasn't feeling good about me. And that brings me to the second part, which is the putting you first, becoming you-centered and not man-centered. And so the number one mistake that a nice girl makes is she invests in a man's happiness to ensure her own. So if I make him happy, if he's good, if I fix him, if I help him, if I support him, if I teach him, train him, suggest, direct, all those things, right? Then he'll, you know, if I love him, he'll love me back. If I invest in his happiness, then he'll want to make sure that I'm happy. And unfortunately, that's not always the case, right? So like we were saying, you know, nice girls often get taken advantage of. They get used. They get taken for granted, and we need to stop that. And so how you do that is you put you first. It keeps your value high, and it keeps you, again, acting worthy to feel worthy so that eventually your feelings will follow your behaviors and your choices. And so the other part is that if you're not looking for that external validation and approval and acceptance, attention, affection outside of you, like the giving to get or the being a certain way in order to get love, then you become the source of your own love, which empowers you at a whole different level. And then that fear factor is going to drop because you're not feeling alone, you're not feeling empty, you're not feeling desperate. You're actually starting to fill your own love cup. And so because you're cherishing you and valuing you, it's very easy after that to attract adoration and value and security and support and cherishing from those around you, especially men. So you first, number one commitment.
Yeah, and I think to some women that might initially sound selfish, but I think that it's really a key because if you are putting yourself first and making yourself a high priority and not putting what you perceive the needs or the wants of a man above your own, particularly in the early stages of a relationship, you have a much better chance of having relationship success and creating a healthier, happier type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And there's not that air of desperation, and you also are likely to end up feeling much more secure with the kind of man that you end up with because you know that it's the kind of man who chose to be with you and who is choosing to take interest in your wants and needs and desires as well. And I always tell women there's plenty of time to give in a relationship after a relationship is more established or you're more
Absolutely.
Committed.
Absolutely, and that's a really good point. And here's the other thing, you know, women always say, well, you know, I don't attract those kind of men, or I always attract these kind of men. And when your love cup is empty and you feel uncertain about you and you feel that emptiness and that aloneness, and we're talking about that desperation vibe that gets, you know, even if you try to hide it, that desperation vibe gets sent. It's like pressure. And every woman who has ever wanted to have a baby and come close to the age of 40, like I did, like I think for like 5 whole years there, I probably had this like incredible baby pressure vibe. And suddenly did I feel the pressure to like meet the one, because here I was a love coach, you know, helping everybody else meet their matches and find love. And I was like, when's my turn, you know? So I had this like, even unwittingly, I had this like incredible like tick-tock, my clock is ticking, and I really want to find love, and I really want to find love. And I had, you know, and even if I would meet really great guys, and I swear I turned some of them off, because that vibe of like it has to happen now, and that desperation, you know, and I didn't have that relaxed, trusting energy that the universe was covering me, and that, you know, my wish would be granted at the right time, and that I just had to relax and ease into it. And so even that unwitting mistake of you know, I just felt like too much work and too much pressure to men who were like, wait a minute, this girl's really needy, and it was just that I was afraid that time was passing me by. And so even that in itself can be a real trap, can turn men away.
Yeah. Yeah, this is such a juicy topic, and I wish we had more time to explore it in more depth. I do want to ask you, I know you have a wonderful free gift, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, which I know many of the women will really benefit from. But I just want to ask you, so in the work that you do, Mary Jane, you talk about an effortless, heartache-free path to love. And I think we've probably touched on some of this already. But I'd like to hear what else you might can say and share with us about how a nice gal can create this kind of love.
Oh, I love that. I think the biggest thing is that we stop all the trying hard behaviors, which really means at an energetic level, we shift the emotional resonance of the nice girl. And to put it more plainly, it means coming from a place of trust, coming from a place where you inherently claim your worth, and irregardless of your past, irregardless of your mistakes, irregardless of even, like we said, your surface feelings or your feelings about yourself at this point, that you really ultimately know deep down, I am worthy and deserving of this love that I desire, and it absolutely can come to me. And so having that faith-based perspective that guides you through all the insecurities or fears or, again, the limitations that you feel might be carried over from your circumstance or your past, and coming from that place. And then as we drop those trying hard, nice gal behaviors and come from that place of deeper security and worthiness, then love is effortless and love begins to happen all around you. And I knew when I had made this shift, and when my clients make this shift as well, because everything starts to happen easier in their life. You know, their work goes better, their family relationships flow, their friendships, you know, either old ones drop off or new ones come in place, or the ones that they have really begin to enliven. They feel more loved, they feel more supported, they just have an ease in their life that they can lean back instead of constantly having, like you said, all this trying and effort, this earning and seeking love creates. And so once that's gone, there's like this incredible space and energy to be and to get delighted with yourself and delighted with life again. And that is a magnetic energy that people are naturally drawn to and that men find exciting. And this is when we're talking about the inspiring of love. And so the beautiful thing is that I, like my other clients, in that journey, I knew that I'd made that shift because I started meeting really amazing men. And they weren't my guy. I met my guy later, but they were really great men, and I started having really positive dating experiences. And guess what that does? That just really encourages you that, hey, wait a minute, there are nice guys out there, and it gets rid of those beliefs that there's no one out there or there's no good men or, you know, it's not going to happen for me, and it begins to shift those belief systems. And so when we let go of those trying hard, nice gal behaviors, we really do make space to bring that worthiness, that inner security, that confidence back, and reclaim all those pieces of ourselves, because we're no longer giving them away to others. They really become a part of you, and then they flow from you, and that's the difference. So instead of having to give, you just emanate. And that emanation is a magnetic pull that just brings all good things, including love, into your life.
Yeah, that was beautifully said. And I agree. It is. It's like a magnetic pull. And so instead of being a struggle, it's more of a natural state that draws the right kind of people, draws higher quality men toward you. And I really appreciate what you've shared today, Mary Jane, because I can so relate to it myself, and so many of my clients have faced these same challenges. So I know it's going to be incredibly valuable for all of our listeners. And I know that you have generously offered a really yummy free gift for the listeners to the summit. And I'll let you share just a little bit about that in just a moment, but I just want to let all of our listeners know where they can go to get that. And that's just www.readyfortherightguy.com/Mary Jane, which is MaryJane. So again, that's readyfortherightguy.com/Mary Jane. So will you just share with us just a little bit about your free gift, Mary Jane?
Absolutely. I'm delighted to offer this. It's my top five nice girl mistakes. And I really go into detail of like how we make that mistake, the beliefs that are associated with it, and basically how we can, you know, go from feeling unworthy and single and stuck to, you know, to getting the relationship of our dreams by overcoming those. And so the five mistakes are overgiving, seeking love, trying too hard, loving too much, and longing for love. And I'm going to talk a lot about why longing for love actually doesn't create love. We think that we desire love, then it will just come to us, but that longing can actually create an emptiness. So I really hammer that message home as well, too, so we can flip that around and no longer feel that way. And I love this one because it's not only filled with, like, great content, because I'm an overgiver, so I definitely am in work, too. And I'm excited about it. No, I just really want to, you know, support you and help you. But it's beautifully laid out, gorgeous infographics. And I put coaching, questions, and suggested actions in each section. So it really, is a guide to really get you started on your journey.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much, Mary Jane. And again, just one more time, to get that, just go to readyfortherightguy.com/Mary Jane. So before we wrap up today, I do want to just give you a chance, Mary Jane, to give us just one last thought or one last piece of wisdom, and then we'll close out for today.
Yeah. I think my biggest message is just how incredibly worthy you are, and that worth is inherent. You don't have to earn it, and you certainly don't have to seek love in order to find it. And it's my deepest hope and also my knowing that there is a soulmate real love connection for every single person out there, and that it's on its way. And we just have to tweak these little things that are, you know, these niggly little nice girl behaviors that we've learned, the ways that we thought we had to learn to earn love and be a certain way to gain love. But once you know that you just are worthy of it and that it's coming to you from that faith perspective, then love will come. And so that's probably my message in summary. Yeah.
Thank you, Mary Jane.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for a wonderful interview today and for being so generous with your wisdom and for your free gift. And we also would like to thank each of you for being here with us, and invite you to implement the ideas that resonate with you from the summit interviews. During the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit, you'll have access to the best wisdom from over 25 love, relationship, and dating experts, and you have access to the interview replays for 48 hours. So I hope you'll be able to listen to as many interviews as possible. However, I know that life gets busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, so I want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which will include the MP3 recordings, interview highlight sheets, and some really yummy summit bonuses. You can check out the VIP package at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. This way you'll be able to listen to the interviews multiple times at your own convenience and have these resources to support you moving forward. It's kind of like having a team of experts in your pocketbook. And during the summit, you get special event VIP pricing, which is $97, and you'll save $100 off the post-summit pricing. So once again, just check that out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. Thank you again for being here with us today. I want to also thank Mary Jane once again, and I look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And Mary Jane and I are both sending you much love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.